everybody. It's Nicole Byer here with some hot takes from Wayfair. A cozy corduroy sectional from Wayfair? Yeah, that's a hot take. Go on and add it to your cart and take it. A pink glam nightstand from Wayfair? Scalding hot take. Take it before I do. A mid-century modern cabinet from Wayfair that doubles as a wine bar? Do I have to say it? It's a hot take. Get it at Wayfair.com and enjoy that free shipping too.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hello, everybody. I am like in the dark today, and you are in the light today, much like our personalities, but welcome to Shaken and Disturbed, everyone. I am Darren Karp, Mother God, Father God, here with Mother God, John Thrasher, who's sipping his light. My light just went out.
I was just going to say.
To be plugged in. Listen.
Do you need to take a second while I talk to people?
Yeah, maybe. I got to learn
Go
how
ahead.
To put this thing in. Hold on.
If you're watching on Patreon or on YouTube, I have a...
Figured it out.
Oh, Darren got it just instantly.
Sorry, I really didn't want you guys to hear from John, so I just wanted to play off.
Like,
I wanted to give
up.
Him the time, but then I was like,
wow.
I just didn't want to hear from John. But go ahead, John.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, I got a little iced tea here, and look at this pretty straw that I got at Starbucks. Isn't it nice? It's one of those like reusable ones, so you don't have to keep killing all the turtles.
Right, which is 100% factually correct. But
100%.
Isn't it annoying, like, washing the straw every time?
Well, I have several, so I don't use... Oh,
my light's out again. I
Take a second. What is going on with your light, though? You know, like, what is happening? I have several, just to answer your question while you figure that out. I have several, and I just throw them in the dishwasher. They're, like, really good quality. They're not, like, the flimsy straws. So, like, so far, so good. Although, I don't know. I don't really love putting plastic in a dishwasher because it gets so... hot, and then the plastic melts a little bit, so I'm like,
yeah,
but it hasn't happened with these straws. So oh, there we go. Darren's got some light going.
Hold on,
you know,
second.
Last
Everyone's
week I will
really seeing the like,
oh yeah, that looks great. Oh wow, you look even better. Yeah, you look good.
What can I say?
Dump
I
scare
plugged in my light. Who knew?
Wonderful.
That you needed
Who
to
knew?
Plug in something that was chargeable. I'm learning things every day.
You're learning. You know, last week we fixed our audio settings. Yeah, we did it, Joe, as Darren was laughing about on our NMR episode. And this week we got our lighting figured out. Darren, you're in New York again, right? Or still?
I'm in New York, and that's why my mic is a little bit off this week, so no complaints. But yes, my lighting was a little bit off, but thank God Nadine has this like kind of like a close-up mirror, but the light around it's kind of like a ring light. So I set it up and it's brilliant. It's just that we've been recording now for an hour and John is just frankly, annoying. And John's fault. Listen to her NMR to understand how annoying John is when trying to explain anything Marvel related to me. Just, I leave you with that.
How dare you?
Should we get into this week's case?
Yeah, let's get into this week's case. I'm excited because we are getting into many different episodes at this point from our Patreon subscribers who have given us case suggestions. If you are a certain level, you have to check it out yourself when you log on to Patreon, but certain levels of Patreon membership, you get to suggest a case. And this week's case is from longtime, not only Patreon subscriber, but I believe Krista was a longtime Martinis and Murder fan. I think that's been with us for quite a while. Krista Stansberry, this one is a case that you suggested. So thank you, Krista. I want to say, is it Christina? I know she's Krista on Patreon and I believe in our Facebook group, but it might be Christina.
I've only known her as Krista. Yeah. And she did just amazing like artwork for us for Shaken and Disturbed. These fabulous needle points, as you were telling me before, reminding me before. And it's just awesome. And they're in my office. Mine is in my office. I'm sure you have yours hanging up as well.
Can I tell you, I have two things hanging up in my office. My very expensive English degree that cost a lot of money to achieve.
Yes.
And the other, or diploma, I should say, not degree. And the other thing is the needle point. I should get it and show everybody, right? Because we're now on YouTube.
If you can show it on YouTube because you're in a, there we go. All right. Put it in front
right
of your
here.
Black shirt body. Yeah.
Isn't this cute?
It's so cute. Hold it up. Can you hold it up a little bit more?
I know.
It's
I'm trying to just see.
We love it. It's our logo and it's so well done. And I love a needle. I think it's needle point, right? Crochet needle point.
Yes, it is. Crochet. Did she, I just noticed this.
She put
a cat.
Listen,
Is that magic? I'm going to die if that's magic.
How did you not notice?
I don't think I ever noticed that.
Wow.
And little music notes. Wow. Okay, guys.
These are Zooey's notes, let me tell you.
I know, exactly.
The notes are that you don't recognize your cat.
Here are Zooey's notes.
There's my mother. All right, let's get into this week's case, John, shall we? Thank you, Krista.
Thank you, Krista.
For this week's
yes.
suggestion. We're big fans of people who write in for suggestions, so do the same. Yes. So on October 23rd, 1943, spooky season, Michael Ivor Peterson was born near Nashville, Tennessee, to Eugene Ivor and Eleanor Peterson. Now, he attended Duke University, super prestigious, where he was president of the Sigma Nu fraternity, editor of the school newspaper, and would graduate with a bachelor's in political science. Kind of this well-rounded, all-American student, if you will, kind of go to Duke, just has everything together, seems like.
Can I just toot my own horn for a second?
Oh, you didn't go to Duke, John.
I didn't go to Duke, but I do work at Carnegie Mellon. But I was the feature editor of the high school newspaper. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
And you're a podcaster now. Yep. Here we are. After graduating.
Really Michael worked out well. Keep going.
Worked out well for all of us. Michael took a civilian job within the United States Department of Defense, where he was assigned to research arguments supporting increased military involvement in Vietnam. That year, he also married Patricia Sue, who taught at an elementary school on an air base in Western Germany. Okay.
Okay.
Now, they had two children together, Clayton and Todd. And in 1968, Michael was commissioned to the United States Marine Corps and served in the Vietnam War. And a couple years later, in 71, he was honorably discharged with the rank of captain after a car accident left him with a permanent disability.
That's terrible. Michael,
awful. Michael and Patricia actually remained in Germany and befriended a couple, Elizabeth and George Ratliff, and their two children, Margaret and Martha. Such a, like, just such good names. Like, Margaret and Martha are just, like, just old-timey names that have just always been in our ether. Now, after George's death, the Peterson and Ratliff families became very close. And when Elizabeth also died in 1985, the Petersons actually were so close that they became the guardians of Margaret and Martha, their two children.
Okay, so a lot of names here, but follow along because it gets interesting. So Michael and Patricia unfortunately divorced in 1987. Clayton and Todd first went to live with Patricia while Margaret and Martha stayed with Michael. Now, Michael relocated to Durham, North Carolina, after which point Clayton and Todd decided to join their fathers and sisters. In 1989, Michael moved in with Kathleen Peterson, a successful business executive, philanthropist, and socialite. You know her, Darren? You're kind of nodding along here. I just want to...
Well, I just love a... I love a little successful business executive, yes, philanthropist, and socialite. Yeah. Yes, Kathleen Peterson.
Yeah, you know her. No relation to Scott Peterson, as far as we know.
As far as we know.
Well, Kathleen was born in Greensboro, North Carolina, and raised in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, not too far from where I am, and not too far from where you went to college, I think, Darren?
Not far at all. Lancaster is Amish country in Pennsylvania, maybe like 30 minutes from where I went to college. Yep.
That's right. Look at me knowing everything about Darren, like your best friend. Anyway, notably, she was the first woman to be accepted into the School of Engineering at Duke University. She would often fundraise for the local dance companies, including the North Carolina Ballet and the American Dance Festival. And when Kathleen and Michael Peterson married in 1997, Kathleen's daughter, Caitlin, also joined the extended Peterson family. Okay, we got the families figured out. I'm following along, but hopefully all you guys are as well.
And by the way, I just want to say, in case anyone, the reason I'm sort of nodding along, I just wanted to say, we didn't say this up top, is that it's part of the documentary, The Staircase, if anyone has heard of Michael Peterson. So if you've seen the documentary, The Staircase, which I believe I want to say is like 9 or 10 episodes on Prime, I could be wrong about that.
It's a billion episodes.
It's a very long time, but they also did I think it was Colin Firth, who played Michael Peterson in limited TV run that was very good, that covers the case. So just FYI, I forgot to say it up top. Sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. No, I figured people would sort of start to connect some dots here as we went along. But nonetheless, on Sunday, December 9th, 2001, police had received a call from Michael Peterson stating that his wife, Kathleen, was found unconscious at the bottom of their stairwell, or staircase, if you happen to have ever watched or heard of that. When asked how many stairs his wife had tumbled down, Michael responded, quote, 15 to 20. I don't know, end quote. He claimed he had been outside by the pool. When he came in around 2 a.m., he found her body at the foot of the stairs and assumed that she had run into trouble while mixing alcohol and Valium. Toxicology results showed that Kathleen's blood alcohol level, blood alcohol content was 0.07%, and she had taken between 5 and 15 milligrams of Valium that night.
So nothing, not egregiously drunk by any stretch. I mean, you can still drive on 0.07. That wouldn't even be considered a DUI. Close. Obviously, you're on the brink. I've never taken Valium, so I don't, outside of when I had like my wisdom teeth pulled. So I don't really know how much a 5 to 15 milligram of Valium would affect with alcohol. I imagine it obviously gives a loopy effect, but you're home, and this is probably something, Occam's razor, that she has done several times, if not normal behavior. Doesn't seem like anything out of the ordinary.
Sure.
Well, the medical examiner, the ME, also concluded that on the night of her death, Kathleen suffered a broken neck as well as 7 wounds to the top and back of her head. Now, I just want everyone to know, because, you know, Michael's claiming she fell down a staircase, and I believe it was the scripted show. Can you look up what the name of the scripted show was with Colin Firth? I'm just blanking
I will.
On it right now.
Yes.
Thank you. They showed like an alternative theory. And if we don't get to it, remind me at the end of the show to kind of say it to you, because they do a good job of showing what possibly could have happened. But
are you talking about in the scripted series?
Yes. In the scripted series, they show like an alternative theory, which is like a little outlandish, but still in my mind possible. Oh.
The staircase.
It was called a staircase.
Yeah, that's the one I thought you were talking about, but I wasn't sure.
Well, there's the doc. I wasn't sure if the doc and the scripted series were called the same thing, but I guess
this one,
they are.
I guess they are. Oh, you're right. Max. Right. Yeah, TV miniseries. It says The Staircase was 8 episodes, although this is the Max original.
Yeah, Max original.
But
it was Colin Firth.
Yeah, it was Colin Firth, but what is the name? Or what network did the documentary?
I want to say it's Prime that it's on right now.
Let me look that up.
And I want to say it's like 10 episodes in case anyone is interested. But listen, it's important to note that if you think that your partner fell down the stairs, maybe a broken neck does make sense, but wounds at the top and back of her head don't make sense for her falling down the stairs. I think we can all sort of agree with that, right?
Yeah. I mean, But although that is that's the big question, right?
Right. Unless there was like jagged edges somewhere. And so, you know, and there was some force. So these wounds were consistent with blows from a blunt object. As Michael was the only person at the residence at the time of Kathleen's death, he, of course, was the prime suspect and was soon charged with her murder. Now, he submitted a plea of not guilty, and the court proceedings began in July of 2003. Now, if you haven't heard this case, I'm kind of surprised, because this would become one of the longest trials in North Carolina's history. Also, he was a famous author. So people just, he had some modicum of fame.
That.
So this was very much so in the ether. Now, the defense relied on testimony from forensic expert Henry Lee, who stated that the blood spatter evidence was consistent with an accidental fall down the stairs rather than murder.
Mm.
And if you're curious, you guys should really look up the scene at the bottom of the stairs, because it's gruesome. And also, if you just fell down the stairs, I'm not really confident why there's so much blood. Like, I don't really see how that would happen unless you already had a wound. But the prosecution obviously rebutted with expert testimony of their own, stating that the injuries were inconsistent with such an accident of falling down the stairs. And I got to say, seeing the image, it don't look like she fell down the stairs to me. I got to be honest, it doesn't look that way. And there was a great deal of circumstantial evidence against Michael, leading back to his friendship with the Ratliffs. And it's going to be interesting, because there are weird coincidences. So, for example, investigators noted that Elizabeth Ratliff, who died, was also found dead at the bottom of the staircase.
Oh, right.
An autopsy at the time of her death concluded she had died from an intracerebral hemorrhage secondary to the blood coagulation disorder von Willebrand's disease, which is kind of hard, but essentially brain damage. However, all accounts conclude that Michael Peterson was the last person to see her alive.
Yeah.
The court ordered Elizabeth's body exhumed, and a second autopsy was carried out, conducted by the examiner who had performed Kathleen Peterson's autopsy, which isn't good, because if you're performing, like, you want separate opinions on that. Like, you sort of want a control where it isn't the same person being influenced, because if they're influencing the autopsy of Kathleen Peterson, no doubt they're going to influence the autopsy of Elizabeth. Now, this time, The autopsy concluded Elizabeth had died due to fractures of the skull caused by a homicidal assault.
Which is quite a different situation than the first
time. And falling down the stairs, right? And I would think that if you fell down the stairs visibly, outside of maybe you obviously broke your neck and you died, there really wouldn't be that much injury to your body outside of maybe some bruises, depending on how long the staircase was. But like scrapes, you know, rug burn. But outside of that, like, why do you have gashes all over yourself? That doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, in multiple places. I mean, right. Yeah, this is the question about this case, but we'll keep going here. So there were in total 7 lacerations to the top and back of her head. The trial drew increasingly large amounts of media attention as details of Michael's private life emerged. This sounds like Scott Peterson a little bit. Another Peterson in the spotlight at this mm-hmm. time. So the prosecution began alleging that Michael was a closeted bisexual, cheating on his wife with another man. According to Assistant District Attorney Frieda Black, Kathleen, quote, would have been infuriated by learning that her husband, who she truly loved, was bisexual and having an extramarital relationship, not with another woman, but a man, which would have been humiliating and embarrassing to her. We believe that once she learned this information, that an argument ensued and a homicide occurred, end quote.
Is this not a grand stretch? I mean, first off, the ADA is saying what Kathleen posthumously would have felt about that. We don't know if she knew. We don't know if she was having extramarital affairs. We don't know if it really even was considered an affair because maybe she just wanted Michael to be happy. Like for her to assume this and then just assume like an argument happened and she died is a stretch to me. Even if he did kill her, that's still a very big stretch.
I mean, not to go back to Scott Peterson, but it's like, there's a lot of like characterization and assumption and frankly, a little bit of storytelling going on that is trying to point in one direction. And it's like, there's no evidence of this whatsoever. I'm talking about her feelings specifically, but while the defense argued this claim, of course, it was just left for speculation. The prosecution said that Kathleen's murder was most likely committed with a custom made fireplace poker called a blow poke, which every time I see one of these, I think about this case, by the way.
Yeah, me too.
Which I hate. I hate that true crime and all this stuff has like infiltrated my brain this way. But anyway, it had been a gift to the Petersons from Kathleen's sister, but was missing from the house at the time of the investigation. Later on during the trial, the defense team found the missing poke blow in the blow poke in the garage.
Again, they do this entire thorough search. They don't find the blow poke. And then, later they find the murder weapon. That would be like the number one thing to find.
Why wouldn't they have looked in the garage already anyway?
I don't understand that.
Well, a juror contacted after the trial mentioned that once the missing tool had been located, the jury had dismissed the idea of the blow poke as the murder weapon. Another strange theory centers around the owl.
I wanted to say that I think was really brought up in the scripted show in a different way, at least the way that they had sort of visualized it, because they could use like CGI to show this. Okay.
Right.
So in late 2003, a new theory of Kathleen's death was raised, that she had been attacked by a barred owl outside, had fallen after rushing inside, and had been knocked unconscious after hitting her head on the first tread of the stairs, which would obviously look like she fell down the stairs.
Right.
Now, local attorney T. Lawrence Pollard, a neighbor of the Petersons, had been following the public details of the trial. He approached the police suggesting that perhaps Kathleen may have been attacked outside by a barred owl, rushed inside to get away, and fallen down in the commotion, hitting her head and falling unconscious and potentially bleeding out. Pollard told police that the lacerations to the back of Kathleen's head had looked like those the barred owl might create during attack, which, if you know what a blow poke looks like, it's like just a long rod, but then it has kind of like a little hook on the side of it kind of thing.
Yeah.
Which in theory also looks like a claw, like a talon from an owl, right? Like they're similar shapes. So later when reading the North Carolina State Bureau of Investigation, SBI, the evidence list, he found a feather listed as found in Kathleen's hair, despite having previously been informed by the district attorney's office that no feathers had been found in the investigation.
Sussy.
Now the SBI, the State Bureau of Investigation Crime Lab report listed a microscopic feather and a piece of bark from a tree limb were discovered in a clump of hair that had been pulled out by the roots and found in Kathleen's left hand. I would think that if an argument ensued about this man's sexuality and he killed her, and or she fell down the stairs, why is there a tree bark in her hair? Like, that just seems... He's not doing that. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, I don't think he's doing that. He's not planting anything like that in her hair himself.
Well, right, exactly. And so a reexamination of the hair in September 2008 had found another tiny feather. Oh. Despite this theory, no new motion had been carried out to reexamine the evidence. However, one of the primary motives suspected for Kathleen's murder was her $1.5 million life insurance policy.
There it is.
And her husband received a payout in the event of her death. Now, remember, Michael was actually kind of wealthy. He was pretty rich, especially in North Carolina. He was an author, established. He had money. So there doesn't seem to be like a grave motive for this type of money. It's not $40 million or something, you know? Yeah. So apparently this motive, though, proved enough to sway the jury. And I'm not saying that those things don't happen. We talk about these cases all the time.
Yeah.
But I remember when you brought it up with Natalie Woods, like, oh, Natalie Wood. And you were like, maybe there's an insurance policy. And I said, like, I feel like that wouldn't happen with rich, famous people in the same way, just because there's a paper trail with that. And it seems kind of wrong. Same kind of theory, though, here for me, that it doesn't seem like this would be the grave motivation for him to do this. But okay.
You would think so. I mean, who doesn't want to be $1.5 million richer, though, no matter how rich you are? But
well, that's why I plan on killing you soon.
Oh, well, didn't realize that.
When I'm done with you. When I'm done.
This is my own naivety, and I should know this by now. Does a person that you put a policy on have to know about it / have to sign off on it? Do we know that for sure? We should look into it.
I don't know, actually.
Like, could you take a life insurance policy out on me and I don't even know? And the next thing you know, I'm dead. Suddenly you're rich.
Well, I don't think you can do, like, if you knew someone was going to like commit suicide, right? I'm just thinking of something, you know, and usually you don't get life insurance payouts when that happens. But if I just took that out on somebody,
yeah,
I don't know. I would imagine they'd have to know. Yeah, let's look into it.
You know, Megan's like a law school girly. I'm going to have to ask her to look
She's
into it.
She's a girly.
She's a girly. Well, as you kind of probably remember, if you know this case, on October 10th, 2003, Michael Peterson was found guilty for the murder of Kathleen Peterson, and he was sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole. Michael was housed at the Nash Correctional Institution near Rocky Mount. In 2010, 7 years later, Michael's legal team filed an appeal after one of the analysts who worked on the case for the prosecution was found to have falsely represented evidence in 34 different legal cases.
I mean, that's crazy. That's crazy.
One case is crazy. Like, let alone 34. Case,
34, that should be enough to at least retry or dismiss the case altogether.
That's right. Well, in 2011, Michael was granted a new trial and was released from prison on a $300,000 bail and placed on house arrest. But in 2014, the legal team had been working on Michael's case pro bono. They decided that they could no longer work on the case without payment and stepped down from representing him. In 2016, 2 years later, the court denied Michael's request for a dismissal of his retrial, and a trial date was scheduled for May of 2017. So, Darren, you can take us through the rest of this.
On February 24th of that year, 2017, Michael entered an Alford plea. We've sort of talked about this before, and the idea of an Alford plea, I was actually thinking about this the other day with this specific case, because this does happen. So he entered an Alford plea to the voluntary manslaughter of Kathleen. Mm-hmm. And essentially an Alford plea is a guilty plea in criminal court, whereby a defendant in a criminal case does not admit to the criminal act. So he doesn't have to say, I guilt her, and asserts his innocence, but accepts an imposition of a sentence. So he's saying he's guilty while also pleading innocence.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, this plea is allowed even if the evidence to be presented by the prosecution would be likely to persuade a judge or jury to find the defendant guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. And he probably worried a little bit about that. Yeah. So that's one of the reasons he probably entered an Alford plea. He asserted his innocence, but agreed there was enough evidence to likely result in a guilty verdict. Because let's be frank, even if it was an owl, which... I actually like that theory. I mean, just with the talons, I think it makes a lot of sense. They're finding feathers in her hair. That's weird. Like, that's not a normal occurrence. It's not like a blade of grass that you could have gotten from lying down outside. Like, these are feathers. Yeah. This is kind of important into her skull. But knowing he was the only one in the house, the previous staircase incident with Elizabeth being found, right. I think he probably felt like, fuck. And sometimes you're like, I don't know if I can get out of this, even though I'm innocent. So
Now
the judge sentenced him to a maximum of 86 months in prison with credit for time previously served. How many years is that? 7, 8?
What is it? Oh my God. Nine. Don't ask me to do math.
Well, it would. How many years is that? 7?
At least 8.
8, 9, something like that. Because Michael
Stand
had
previously. I'm going to do math.
Okay, thank you. Just 86 divided by 12. Not hard. Waiting for your answer.
That is, of course,
7.16
years, you guys.
Okay,
hello.
So 86 months. Now, Michael had already served over 98 months in prison.
Oh, great. Wonderful.
So, which was literally already, he served, you know, 8 years in prison. So more time than the new sentence. And he, when sentenced to time served, was allowed to go free with the permanent label of convicted felon. So that's also the thing, is even though you're innocent, you are living in the world as a convicted felon. It means you can't vote or anything like that. Now, though the trial wrapped up nearly a decade ago, the media still seems to be enthralled with Kathleen's murder. Many true crime programs have covered this case, including, like I said, Dateline, NBC, Forensic Files, obviously the HBO miniseries we mentioned, The Staircase, which stars Colin Firth and Toni Collette. And that's, I highly do recommend seeing it, especially for the owl theory, because I know that that sounds egregious and ostentatious, but what if?
Yeah. Well, yeah, totally. What if? First of all, I have two thoughts. Number one, what is your theory? Like, what do you believe the most? Do you believe the owl theory? Is that the one that you think is the most
reasonable?
When
you look at pictures, it doesn't look like she fell down the stairs, right? So, but him thinking that she fell down the stairs because she was located at the bottom of the stairs makes sense. Not having the bloke poke and then just being found in the garage, like dusty and not moved, which they also said, like, if it was completely pristine and clean with bleach, yeah, that might say something to me. How often are people really cleaning their blow pokes? Probably not, if ever. So for him to clean it would say something to me that, like, he's trying to get blood off of it. Do I know if it's an owl? No, but I do know where they were living. Like, it wasn't extremely uncommon. And it does kind of look like that. I mean, I don't think he's guilty.
I don't think he's guilty.
Yeah.
My only thing is, my only thoughts are, if I'm doing like my forensic DNA approach, right? If only two microscopic feathers are found in her head. To me, I'm like, if you're going to get attacked by an owl, wouldn't there be a little more, like, what's the term, like, biological evidence of that other than two microscopic feathers? I'm not saying it didn't happen. I'm just saying, wouldn't it seem like there wouldn't be just two microscopic feathers?
I get that point. But then, what's the point of where did the feathers come from? And B, if she was bludgeoned to death, why are the feathers there at all?
Yeah, I mean, this goes back, you know, I always make this same kind of comparison with you, which is like, I stayed at your apartment for a couple of weeks, 2022. My DNA, my hair is very likely had fallen off at some point, an eyelash here or there.
A Billy eyelash
may have fallen off at some point. And, you know, not to be gross, but when things get blown into the air, I mean, central air conditioning and all that type of stuff, things go into your hair, you know? And now the tree bark thing is an interesting point of this, because now you have multiple biological evidence
in the wounds. Like,
yeah. So there is something to that for sure. But,
you know, for him to like bludgeon her to death, go outside, get tree bark, like it just doesn't seem like someone who like murdered her.
I'm agreeing with you. I do want to rewatch The Stair. I watched it years ago and I don't remember it super well.
It's really fascinating. And it's one of those things that's like, of all the crimes, like eventually, you know, people are going to get fucked just by circumstantial evidence, or just like, it just seems too good to be true if this were all going down the way that it was, but it does happen. It does happen. So,
yeah. By the way, I kept looking up the name of the documentary. I think it's also called The Staircase. You guys are probably screaming in your cars right now.
I think it is.
Yeah, I think it might, both the miniseries and the documentary are called The Staircase. By the way, there's so many different documentaries about this case because of how popular it is. So there's probably even more to choose from out there. But what do you guys think? Was it the owl? Was it a tumble down the steps? Was it something else? Let us know at Jay Thrasher at Carpe Darren. Hit us up on our socials, and then hit us up on our Facebook group. Hit us up. I'm bludgeoning
okay?
this in a sense.
Oh, okay.
Hit us
falling
up
down the stairs with this one.
Our Patreon as well. And I also want to give another shout out to Krista, who, by the way, I just want to read her message from 2 months ago, because we had asked you radishes and sussy radishes on Patreon what case suggestions you have for us. She said, since martinis and murder, I've been wanting to hear. So I'm correct. She was listening since then. I've been wanting to hear y'all's opinion on The Staircase. I know John would never be able to watch the show.
We all know that.
Still a good case to cover. I actually did watch it. I remember watching it years ago. But it was like, I think before Martinis and Murder. But so thank you, Krista.
Yes, and thank you so much, Krista. And we want to hear from you directly on what you think of the case, and if you think he did it or not. And if you've seen all of the things we've been talking about, because I think it's kind of important to see both, actually.
Absolutely.
Should we get to some listeners?
Yeah.
I'll take the first one. John?
Sure.
We did it, Joe. We got the sound right. And our listener, Michelle, even confirmed it on Facebook, saying, quote, listening on today's episode in the car, pulled over to post this. And it sounds much better. Thanks for that. And for that mention as well. Thank you so much, Michelle, for telling us. We did it, Joe. We did it.
Yeah. For those who don't know, Michelle mentioned this in our Facebook group, and I wrote, we did it, Joe. And people found it funny, including Darren. By the way, I want to say, Michelle, thank you for pulling over to post this, guys. No texting and driving.
No.
Pull over to your local Taco Bell, order a chalupa, cheesy gordita crunch, or a chalupa, and then
comment.
Just like a
regular meat taco, three of them hard, crunchy shell. That's fine. That's fine, too.
Can I tell you something?
That's a respectable order.
I said that because I had Taco Bell for lunch today.
I've been really craving it. I feel like I've been really craving it. But I live in LA, and I'm like, I can't eat Taco Bell.
I know,
like
same.
I just can't, but like, I want it every day. I could eat their tacos.
It's annoying. It's true. And this particular Taco Bell that I live near in Pittsburgh is like, they do it really well. You know, some Taco Bells, they don't do it so good, but
love it.
Well, I wanted to give a shout out to teachers everywhere. This is a little more sentimental and personal, but last week we lost one of the most influential people from my most formative years, Mrs. Jane Roderick. She was my AP English teacher in 11th and 12th grade, and I had her for homeroom, Darren, when I was in newspaper journalism. Thank you very much.
Shout out to you.
But, you know, she really helped me realize that I had a talent in writing, which really helped me pursue my career path, which has led me to a lot of success and happiness. And truly, if it wasn't for her, I don't know if I would be where I am today in my life. And she really loved her students. And so many people from across her 35-year career shared the same sentiment. Wow. She was literally one of the best educators I've ever had. And I know a lot of you out there listening are teachers or educators of some capacity as well. And just know that I adore you. I don't think Darren does, but I adore you.
No,
and
I love you. John doesn't like you if you're a woman. That's clear.
He only thinks
men should be teaching the next generation. John, admit it.
Not at all, actually.
Yeah. Okay, sure.
But sure. I adore you. And I think that you should all be making millions of dollars. I think you are the backbone of our American society. So thank you. This is a shout out to teachers everywhere. My heart goes out to Mrs. Roderick's family, especially her daughter, Nina, who I'm friends with. Just wanted to give a quick little shout out because I was really appreciating teachers in the last week.
No, that's a really like heartfelt thing. And,
Thank you.
I still remember so many of my teachers that
I know
had such an impact on me. And you're not thinking about it on the day to day. But when I go back and I think about like someone's doing an exercise, it's like, oh, name the first time someone really believed in you, you know, and you're like, there are teachers that were like, you should go do that. And you are influential and you mean a lot. And so that's nice tribute that you did, John.
Thank you. And I also want to mention, Darren, if you remember in 2018, when you and I were mentioned pretty extensively in the New York Times, I reached out to Mrs. Roderick, my English teacher and my newspaper journalism teacher. And I was like, I just want to let you know, not to toot my own horn, but I was mentioned in the New York Times recently, and she was so sweet and appreciative, and she, you know, just, and I have these emails saved, so I can always look back at that.
I love that. I love that you reached out. That's so important. And shout out to her, of course. And just you know, she taught you something. That's really sweet. Guys, as a reminder, please check out our Patreon to help support our show directly. Your support means the world to us. You can sign up for as little as $5 a month or even cheaper, actually, if you sign up annually. Check out the link in our show notes or go to patreon.com/shakenanddisturbed.
And Darren, I know you love to give the call to action to subscribe on YouTube. So do you want to do your whole little like show and dance here when you're You're wanting
guys,
people to hit
smashing that subscribe button. It's not up. I used to think it was up. I think it's down.
I think it's down. Yeah. It depends on.
It's all corners.
Yeah. Okay.
John, is this it?
Okay. It's time to go. Yeah, all right, guys.
We're wrapping it up.
We'll see you next week. Don't forget to take your Zyrtec. If you heard me complain about my allergies on NMR, I'm back, baby. Take your Zyrtec.
And struggling back to NMR, you have to listen to it. But is it X-Men or X-Man? Something to think
we'll
about.
We'll never know.
Just
something to think
to
about.
Think about.
There you go. We'll see you guys on next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.